Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot and really a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Monday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe at Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there, join the militia. Thank you for tuning in, hanging out with us. We appreciate all of you. This is your Virginia Tech postgame. Syracuse goes on the road and gets their first win in the ACC of the year, snapping an 8-game ACC road trip losing streak. They improved to 4-4, 1-3 in the ACC. We are a day late, and it's Joe's fault, just like it always is. So it's fine. You've probably listened. You've probably heard all of the stuff that you normally would if you listened to other podcasts, but you haven't listened to this one. So we're going to do our thing. But first, since we've been gone, before we get into the coach montage, Chris Bunch, he verbally committed to the Orange. He's forward, 6'8", 190, and he picked the Orange over Rutgers and Washington. I believe Syracuse, Rutgers, and Washington were in his top three, so beating out old coach Hop there, which is, you know, that's good to see. And I'm pretty happy about that. So he gives Syracuse five players for the 2022 recruiting class. He joins Quadir Copeland, Justin Taylor, Malik Brown, and Peter Carey. And this 2022 class looked really good after Malik Brown was the latest commit. And it's looking even better. And even Coach Boeheim said, Joe, that this is probably the best recruiting class he's ever had. So is that true? I don't know, but this is a lot of talent coming in for 2022.
Oh, for sure. And it's, again, with COVID and everything that's happened recently, it's really, really hard. I've always been not really 100% with the 247 sports and all the ratings and stuff that come from some of these places, because I think there's some politics involved and stuff like that. But when you talk about depth and you talk about recruiting a guy for every single position, and the fact that I think we had at least two players that didn't even play their season last year in high school because of COVID. So, you know, they haven't really been able to see them. You know, it's going to say a lot. And I think that you're going to see this class move up a little bit more as, you know, they go through their high school class. And I think that Boeheim is kind of alluding to that, that he thinks that, and the stars and rankings might not necessarily say that, but he thinks that a lot of these guys are underranked and really haven't been, you know, looked at and analyzed good enough to even really for that to be accurate. So only time can tell, and we'll wait and see. But five guys for 2022 class, and it's still a year away, like you said. You got to get here first.
Right, and they got to get here first. They got to put the jersey on, they got to get on the court. But we haven't done a lot of Syracuse basketball top talk as we approach the basketball season, quickly approaching, but we do have a week off after the Boston College post game. Maybe we can squeeze something in then. It's just, if you don't, you know, if it isn't your job, it's really difficult to get here and add those shows in when you do as much of the football stuff as we do. And, you know, with everything else that both of us have going on. So
Well, they had the tip-off stuff, right?
Yeah, they had the tip-off stuff.
They had the tip-off stuff and their little scrimmage, and they had the ACC, you know, the ACC Media Day and stuff like that.
Nothing, not much came out of the ACC Media Day. I mean, it was...
Oh, I know. And, you know, they got the exhibition game against Pace College on Wednesday. So, you know, they got some stuff, but like you said, the week we have off for football, we'll definitely be able to hit that up and get folks ready for the first game. I think the first actual game is what,
the 11th, was it?
November. I think it's November 7th against, I want to say Lafayette, but.
Okay. Well, we'll get into all that as soon as we can. I promise. I know we're a little bit behind and I got a couple of DMs about it, but, you know, if there was anything pressing, we would hit it if we could. Real quick, Sean Tucker, 6th straight game with 100 plus yards breaks the school record. Right now he leads the ACC in rushing yards and all purpose yards. Until you know, Michigan State had a bye week, so he's first nationally in rushing yards in the nation right now. But setting the school record, he's about 312 yards behind the single season rushing record currently held by Joe Morris. So, I mean, at the pace he's on, obviously he's going to explode that. And, you know, the 44 talks commence even more. And like we've said, you know, there's a lot of it. I don't see an issue with it being next year. And we've kind of said our piece on it. I'm not like a vigilant 44 jersey guy. I don't know what category that puts me in. but I mean, maybe the 34 goes down legendary. You know, I mean.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I don't know. Of course it would be cool, but he's making a mark with the 34. I mean, that's Joe Morris was what, 47? Something like that. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see. But but just for all the fans that listen that are on that train, I get it. It's not that I don't get it at all. So, it's not that. But all right. I have a lot to say. I had a fantastic time in Virginia Tech in Blacksburg, and it was an experience I would love to do again. And there's a little bit in the montage, and I'll hit some of that up. But first, getting there trying to park, took a wrong turn, ended up going down Party Central. Boy, let me tell you, dude, blocks of just backyard parties. I'm not even kidding you. It was awesome. And if my kids weren't there, I'd have probably parked. But there was live bands in yards. There was keg stands being done. I mean, this was like typical pregame college stuff going on. And it has been a long time since I had gotten in the mix of any of that. And I took a wrong turn and ended up driving my minivan through it, or my wife's minivan. So I looked like a total dweeb. But it was cool. I got a lot to say about it. Had a great time there. But first, let's hear what Coach had to say after the game.
You gotta speak up a little bit.
For this kind of stuff to be happening repeatedly.
Repeatedly
in a season, more than once in a season.
Okay, you gotta tell me exactly what you're talking about, because we may be talking about two different things.
Personnel not knowing which personnel should be on the field.
Oh yeah, that's not good. No, that needs to stop today. Yeah, that's not good.
How did you try to deliver that message today?
That wasn't so much to the players.
To the coaches, right?
And then to the coaches.
How does that message, not knowing how football operation works, right?
Oh, yes, you do.
I don't know what it's like on the sideline. Is it the position coach who makes sure that the right personnel is on the field out of the timeout?
I'm responsible for everything, so it's on me. My hands are on it. You know, He throws okay, you guys. He throws okay. It's not the prettiest thing, but it'll get better. You know what I mean? It'll get better. And it may not change this year, but you got two more years for it to change. So he'll get better. But he did okay. You know, it was a heck of a throw, and it was a heck of a... Go back and check the tape. Garrett's on his back.
What does it mean for Garrett? What does it mean for them too? And what does it mean for the team?
You know, I was teasing Damian inside. I'm like, did you catch it the first time, the second time, or the third time? It just seemed like it was in his hands for a long time. But to see him make that play, and Garrett never saw the play. Go back and check the tape. Garrett's on his back. He never saw the play. He could barely breathe when I got to him. And I'm like,
And he's like, I said, stop making all that Dalgo noise and went for a touchdown. Get up and act like you're a hero. You know, it was a heck of a throw, and it was a heck of a catch. And I'm excited for Damien because he's a freshman. There's big things for him down the road. Oh, this, what a great crowd. They caused us so much trouble. They've got so much football experience. You know, they're the veteran crowd. You know, the way we had Josh Iloa, when we lost Carlos and we had to move Aaron Service to a tackle, and then Josh Iloa came in at center, I want to say there was 10 yards in penalties because of the crowd, just like that, bang, bang, almost like they knew a new center was in there, and the communication between him and Garrett wasn't good enough on that drive, and it was causing us issues. Now, they worked it out because, once again, Garrett's getting up in there, and boom, boom, boom. We had the one time where the guy tapped him, and the ball was snapped, right? And it's like, what the heck? And luckily, we got that one. That's all crowd noise. And we did all the things we're supposed to do. We blasted the speakers and couldn't hear and all that kind of stuff. But when you have, you know, like our crowd, when you have a crowd that really knows football and they know when to do it and how to do it, they can definitely be a 12th man. This crowd is amazing. Virginia Tech has an amazing crowd. I really felt that after we came out in the second half that we were gonna get something. I could be wrong. I mean, we could fumble the ball, you know. But I really felt we were gonna get something, and I just didn't want to. We took, I want to say, 3 legitimate shots at that thing. And I'm like, eh. And then we had a really good play called, and something happened. If you guys haven't noticed, this is my happy face.
All right, the coach montage is first brought to us by Symbol. Okay, Symbol is the stock market for sports that allows you to profit off of your sports knowledge. On Symbol, you can trade sports teams like stocks, and every time your team wins, you earn cash. Use your sports knowledge on Symbol to buy low, sell high, and earn cash payouts when your team wins. Join the 7,000-plus early adopters who have started to invest into their favorite teams. Visit www.simbull.com to create a free account. And when you deposit, make sure to use the promo code SD to make that deposit risk-free. Visit symbull.com and use a promo code SD, and your deposit will be risk-free. This means even if you lose money, Symbull will refund your initial deposit. No questions asked. Join Symbull and start investing and profiting from your favorite sports teams today. The Spotify Green Room app, you guys know what to do. Go there, download the app. It's free, iOS or Android stores. Get a username, email address, and a password. You can follow us at QS Militia there. You'll get sign up for notifications. When those notifications go off, you can join us live. And you can either sit in the green room and listen to us chat, or you can request to speak. You request to speak, and if I approve it, you'll see a red microphone at your icon. Hit that icon to unmute yourself and say your piece. That's all you got to do. Visit your iOS or Android stores today for the Spotify Green Room app. All right, Joe, let's get into the montage here. Okay, obviously... Obviously, first of all, it's worth saying, pointing out that Syracuse did go 4-for-4 on fourth down conversions. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the first thing. Through all of the debacle at the 1 yard line at the end of the second half there, okay, through all of that, there was a play run after Fuente called a timeout, right? So, and we missed it. Garrett, it was a quarterback sneak, and Garrett Schrader was short of the goal line. So thankfully, like, that timeout saved us. Back-to-back timeouts. I'm sitting in the stands, Joe. I got no idea what's going on. I think it's another mess. What, you know, I know what it is now, obviously, because I've watched parts of the game, so I know what it is, but not having the right personnel out there, coach took responsibility for it. At the end of the day, he said that's on him. And Garrett Schrader in his press conference said, look, we're in the huddle. We all knew what to do. Everybody's shaking heads. Yes. And then they line up wrong. And then there's issues. And then there's a miscount of players on the field. So, I mean, look.
Yeah.
Until you don't make the 19-yard field goal, kind of no harm, no foul, because when we did go for it, Virginia Tech calls a timeout and we were short anyway, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So kind of a saving grace. Yeah. We even got a shot at the field goal.
Yeah, that's just one of those situations where you just can't have, like, we went in a situation where we had 8 seconds to run basically any play that we wanted, any mm-hmm. play in the playbook, a run, a pass. We had a timeout, you know, went in there, drew it up, went out there. And like you said, the last second, I don't know if it was the players or the coaches or something, but, you know, Courtney Jackson seen running on the field, and that made 12. I mean, we had 12 men on the field. So Dino had to run down and call a timeout again. And again, obviously, that's just a situation where Dino's going to have to take the blame because it's his job to make sure that everyone's prepared, especially out of a timeout. It's just a bad look. And I thought it was awful. And realistically, in time, when I was watching it, like I thought, I mean, I know being down six, going into halftime and getting the ball, I knew we still had a chance. But that would have been the first things that I would have pointed to if we would have lost that game, is that whole sequence of events right there. Yeah. It was just awful. And then even at the end when he decided to kick the field goal, I'm like, well, whatever. Like, you guys already messed it up. We can't try another play, so let's just kick a field goal.
Exactly.
And then doesn't go in. And it's like, oh, God.
So,
again, it's one of those things where you never know what's going to work, what's not going to work. Something that might seem so simple sometimes goes awry. And it just seemed like it was just another situation at the end of the half where he – like they just couldn't get it right.
They couldn't get it right, but at least Virginia, it wasn't the opponent scoring at the end of the half, which was the last 2 weeks, right?
Right.
On some of that stuff. So, look, I sat next to Andre Schmidt's parents, and I found out after that kick, okay? Now, I wasn't saying anything derogatory, but I'll tell you how it went down, but I wasn't saying anything derogatory, but I did talk to his dad about that kick after the fact during halftime. So when I found out who I was sitting next to, and there were seven Syracuse fans in my section where I was sitting, and it was my family, five, and then Andre Schmidt's mom and dad. So I talked to him during halftime, and he's like, and I'm like, well, what was it? You know, cause his mom was raving about the Clemson game and the laces and stuff. She was really upset about him getting the extra point blocked. And then,
of course,
and then the missed kick, and his dad said, and I agree with him, you know, it doesn't matter at that point when you're there, you got to put it through. And look, an awkward angle that close, let's be honest. I mean, it is, I'm not making excuses, but it really is.
No, I mean, that's one of those things too, where it's a situation where, again, sometimes being so close with a field goal, especially at an angle like that, you know, you don't have the distance for the ball to correct itself. And if it kind of comes off your foot a little, you know, wrong, then, you know, something like that could happen. Because, again, if that was 10 yards longer, who knows if that was traveling toward the left and it would have just kissed the inside of the uprights or not even touched it. But when it went right in, right, because right. It was so close, you don't got that time for it to adjust itself. So if you don't hit it, you know, true, then those things can happen. So yeah, I mean, those, I'm sure that there's kicks in the 40 plus yard range right down the middle that some kickers would rather do than that sometimes, you know,
right.
Depending on your kicker, but that's not the easiest kick.
It's not the easiest kick. I'm not making excuses, but I mean, you know, it's fair to point it out.
He's got to make it, but
right.
But,
and even his pop said that. So, look, Schrader passing, not great. Some in the dirt, some a little long, some too high. But all in all, dude, 16 for 34, which isn't great. 47%. Okay. We know that's the glaring issue. 47%, 236 yards, the 45-yarder to Alford to close the game out, essentially. Two touchdowns, zero interceptions. Stood in there again and got walloped just like he did on the 62 yarder. I think it was a 62 yarder to Pena a couple of weeks ago.
Against Clemson.
Right. So
yep.
Takes the hit, stands in there, knows it's coming. Just a strong throw, perfectly placed. Alford with the catch and, you know, basically sealed the deal. But as we progress into with every game, Schrader is turning fans. Okay. I'm seeing it on social media. I mean, Schrader hasn't really changed. All he's done and really is maybe honed in a little bit, or maybe a little bit more confidence, and let's be honest, a little bit more work with his receivers. I think the receivers and Schrader started from behind this year with Taj leaving and Tommy starting the first three games. I think obviously had we made this decision in the beginning of the year like Coach wanted to, I feel like these growing pains would be working themselves out, you know, maybe a couple weeks ago already. So we'll just see how it goes, right, Joe? As long as there's improvements to be made, we'll call them out. But 236 yards, pretty good. No interceptions. He made one bad throw that I remember that was a little scary. That could have been picked off, but everything else was either really bad and no one could catch it, or it was right where it should have been. Some high percentage stuff, right? So
Well, there was definitely some situations where, you know, he only put it in the chance where like his guys could catch the ball. I think that Queely really had a good opportunity there on that ball in the end zone. I thought that went through his arm.
Sherrod Johnson had one too.
What a catch.
Sherrod Johnson had one he should have caught, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then, you know, it's obvious that him and Courtney Jackson, they got a nice little underneath thing going there with a slot receiver and Devon Cooper developing as well. So, I know he only had four catches for 36 yards, but, you know, Devon Cooper, obviously, we talked about him hopefully coming in as that transfer older guy and being able to help, and I do think that he is going to help. You know, Sherrod Johnson and Queely, although they did catch – each, you know, a ball themselves, and they were pretty big balls. And as far as catching,
they were what?
They were pretty important catches on the drive. On the drives where they caught those balls.
Oh, I thought you said they were big balls. Okay, go on.
Oh, yeah, no, I did. I just knew where you were going there. So, the thing with Garrett Schrader is, unlike DeVito, right? DeVito definitely has a better arm, right? And has probably more accurate, stronger arm. But if he's not accurate, then his guys have no chance of catching that ball. So that's the one thing that Garrett Schrader, I think, you know, he's not as accurate as DeVito, but he also doesn't throw as powerful of a ball so that even if it's a little behind.
Talking about velocity.
Yes. And that's just, you can see it going across the middle with Courtney Jackson and stuff like that. They're starting to realize how he throws the ball and how they got to use their body more to block off the defender because it might not be right there, but he's going to give you a chance to catch it. Throwing back shoulder throws as well. So, I mean, he does things as far as in his throwing and passing game that, gives some of these receivers better opportunities if it was Tommy and he wasn't accurate or wasn't having a great game. Cause if it's not accurate, it's a little behind you. The way that Tommy throws it, there's no way you're catching it. And then obviously what he gives us with eluding the rushers and not getting sacked and running, that's obviously just a completely different level than what Tommy could do. So, yeah, he's definitely turning fans, and he turned me a long time ago. You know, I said from the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yes. And, I mean, you made the prediction. You made the prediction. It didn't come true, but you did make the preseason prediction that Garrett Schrader would start the first game. So, but
yeah, I thought it was going to be the whole season. I thought it should have been.
I think, obviously, though, he, like, to your point that you've made many times, and I'm not trying to beat a dead horse, but, you know, he does and has given the Orange the best shot to win, and you can only imagine if he was in for Rutgers. And, you know, we could be sitting here at 5-3 and one game away from a bowl game going into a Boston College at home. A struggling Boston College to, you know, moderately. So,
no, in most seasons, you don't lose those three close games like that. I mean, it's just,
that's true.
We should have won one of those games. So,
absolutely. So we talked about the Alford catch, which was great. It was, I believe it was his only catch of the game too.
Yep.
Yeah. So, look, did you watch Alford's post-game press conference?
No.
Oh, dude. Oh, man. I could watch him every week give a post-game presser, dude. He brings swag to post-game pressers. He's good. He's good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Okay. You should definitely go back and watch it. He finishes a lot of his answers up with, yeah, so, you know, like he's got nothing else to say, but he's good. I enjoy watching those press conferences with him. That halftime speech, I don't know what was said. There was a lot of talk about it to Coach during the press conference. So I guess reporters were in there. He must have been doing some yelling. All the players were asked about it, and then he was asked about it. He was asked about it, and then all the players were asked about it. So whatever he said seemed to work, but I want to finish with this. He gave a nod to the Hokie crowd. Look, I wasn't nervous going in here for any, you know, we talked to Gio about the students and, you know, how it was a little rowdy. And dude, I saw kids before the game. I mean, they were just getting rocked. I mean, flat out, they were just getting rocked. And I'm like, man, this could be rowdy, you know? So we're walking
especially up. Considering the game started at 12:30.
So. Yes, dude. Some girl tapped on my wife's shoulder and said, "Have you seen my dad?" Totally wasted. And Amy's like, "I don't know. What's he look like?" You know, like, oh, dude. And she's calling him. She's like, "I'm in our seats," which clearly she wasn't. But anyway, there's plenty of shenanigans going on. I will say, I had three different people come up to me and welcome us to Blacksburg. Very hospitable. I never would have expected this. I had one woman come up to me and say, "Welcome to Blacksburg. You know, we went to the Dome a while back, and I think she said it was a basketball game, and we were so welcomed by your fans, and you guys are so great in the Dome, and we were so hospitable." And I was blown away by their fans. They were great. We were surrounded by Hokie fans. My son had a big Syracuse foam finger, and he kept hitting this guy. I'm like, telling my wife, I'm like, "Dude, he keeps hitting the guy with the foam finger." So I tap on his shoulder. I'm like, "I'm sorry, I took the foam finger away." He was so cool about it. You know, and there was a family there, and you know me, Joe, I'm loud, and I was screaming. And you can imagine during a Garrett Schrader touchdown run, or the Sean Tucker one, the first one, on the first possession, when the crowd quiets down and I'm screaming by myself, you know, it can get, so I apologize. I'm like, "I'm sorry, I can't help myself." And the dude turned around. He's like, "Dude, it's cool, man. You work for your team. You do you." So they were really good. Now, as far as the tradition there, which doesn't come across, I watched some of it on TV, and I've been watching it on TV for years. It doesn't come across on TV like it does when you're in the stands. The key rattling on third downs, the first down chance that they have, the Enter Sandman thing, all of that was amazing, and they have got some tradition there. They really do. So hats off to the Hokie Nation and for their hospitality and everything from start to finish. I enjoyed myself. It was a great time. So I would go again in a heartbeat.
Nice.
Yeah. So, all right.
That must have been awesome. That's awesome, dude. That's an awesome way to, I mean, think about it. We were down, what, 9 points with 5 minutes to go?
Yes, and I told Dylan, I'm like, "Look, that could have been the dagger." I mean, you know, there were so many points scored in the fourth quarter. I don't have it in front of me. 21 to 10. Syracuse scored 21 points in the 20. They had 20 points going into the fourth quarter, and then they scored 21 to pull this thing out. So
how about Trevor Pena, by the way?
He's amazing, and I hope he's okay. I haven't heard anybody be asked
when he
about
was running out. When he was running out, he was holding his wrist pretty good. So we'll wait and see. And I know there was a situation, too, where Elmore had looked like some type of soft cast on his hand. He, I think, was out. I want to say when he made the tackle, when I thought the guy from Virginia Tech was going to return that for a touchdown, the kickoff or the punt or whatever. But, yeah, Trevor Pena, dude, that 51-yard get that. I mean, that got us right back on track. We got down there.
There was a momentum shift for sure. Mm-hmm. That was the first touchdown to close the gap.
Yep. And our defense
stepped up when they needed to. You know, you're waiting for it all game. I can't tell you how many times I said to Dylan, I said, there's got to be a turnover. We got to win this game in the turnover. I know. But
they had two guys rush for more yards than they've anyone's ran all year on. So,
yeah,
I mean,
they had their first 100-yard rusher, right? So it is
a little concerning.
It is, but I don't know if I would put too much on it. They got their first 100-yard rusher of the season with what's his name, Malachi Thomas. But
he looked impressive.
Yeah, he looked good, and you know they haven't been able to really run the ball that good. The other thing I noticed too, real quick before we get into fan feedback, was Virginia Tech, and I noticed this during the game. Like, what the hell? is going on with the penalties, because they got every, first of all, they got every 50-50 call, which is totally annoying. And the pass interference call on their last possession right before the Hail Mary was a garbage call. And I'll sit here and tell you all day, I think that was to get him closer so he could throw it to the end zone. I really do, man. I mean, how do you look at that and not think that as an opposing fan there? I mean, anyway, my point is, Virginia Tech is the fewest penalized team in the country with the fewest penalty yards as well. So that's amazing to...
One for five yards.
One offside penalty.
Yeah, and you're right. They did. They got every 50-50. You know, that catch on the sideline, which I do think it was a catch going back and looking at it. But they called it not a catch, and they said, okay, there's enough evidence, which, I mean, if you called it that way, then you can argue that there was not a lot of evidence. But either way, you know, you go away from that one, and you talk about Queeley's catch that they said hit the ground, but they called the catch. They go and they didn't really – they went to commercial, didn't show too many
replays.
I mean, I know you were there, so, but yeah, even on TV, they didn't show a lot of replays. So I'm like, okay.
The replays aren't great at the stadium either.
Yeah. And then you come back and all of a sudden they're saying, oh, well, you know, they called it incomplete. And then there was a point in the game where, who was it? Their running back, number five, Blackshear, he had that one catch. It was like a little screen pass for like 30 yards. And that was kind of the same situation with Queeley. Like that, it looked like it hit the ground.
It did.
And it took it off the ground. I think it did too. And they called it a complete pass and they went and looked at it and they kept it that way. So like you said, and you know, when it came to all the 50-50 calls with stuff, especially like that, they got them for sure.
They definitely did. All right. It's time to hear from you right after this.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
All right, fan feedback is going to commence here shortly, but it is brought to us by Symbol. Symbol is the sports stock market that allows you to profit off of your sports knowledge. There are two ways to make money on Symbol. First, every time your team wins, you earn a cash win payout. Second, just like the stock market, if you think the team is going to increase in value, you can buy low and sell high for a profit. Use the promo code SD to make your first deposit risk-free. This means even if you lose money or just decide the market isn't for you, Symbol will refund your initial deposit. No questions asked. Visit symbol.com today. That's www.simbull.com today. All right, Spotify, Green Room app. Go to your iOS or Android store, download the app. Username, password, and email address is all you need to sign up. You can follow us at Cuse Militia. You can get in the green room there. You can listen, or you can request to speak. If I approve your request, you will have a red mic on your icon. Hit the red mic and unmute yourself and say your piece. And you don't even need to just follow us. You can follow anybody else, and you can also start your own thing. There's an option to actually record the room, and it'll email you the recording. You then can upload it to any podcast platform and have your own podcast without any equipment. That's it. Boom. Bada bing, bada boom. iOS or Android stores, Spotify, Green Room app. Go there today. Download that. All right, Joe, let's see what we got here. All right, let's start with this. At EJ62564, stop, everyone just stop. The close losses suck, but they got blown out of the they've got blown out the last couple of seasons in every game this year. It's getting better. Leave them alone, cheer them on, and stop calling for the coach's head after every mistake or call that you don't like. So, look, I understand the frustration with some of this stuff. I really do. And we've been frustrated with it. We've talked about it here. If we were treading water or it was getting worse, Joe, I could understand the calls, but worst, I'm still getting text messages from people I know. I'm seeing stuff on Twitter too, but during the game, I'm getting text messages because people know I'm there talking about, oh, he needs to be fired. This is baloney. They're going to lose this game because of poor coaching again. And I was just like, you know, they end up winning the game. So, you know, let's just figure out and see what happens at the end of this year. I think, you know, I'm not trying to get ahead of myself either, but next year, just think, you know, Garrett Schrader's got 2 years left after this year. And if he decides to stay, and just think about what that could look like and how we were with Dungy at one point and how we ended up with Dungy at one point, the most, you know, recency bias, as far as an example goes. So,
oh, yeah, you know, that's the thing. I mean, again, you have to be able to put perspective on it. Right. And it's not like we're getting blown out in the Rutgers game.
Yeah. That's Earl's point. Yeah.
You know what I mean? We don't want Rutgers was in the beginning of the season, so that's very difficult. I still, like, again, think that we should have been at a point where we should have just already had the starter, and, you know, is what it is. We lost by 10, and it was while we were splitting quarterbacks during a quarterback competition, still trying to figure stuff out, right? And when you look at last year's team, we went 1-10, and of those 10 losses, only two of them were within 10 points. We had a 3-point loss at home against Boston College and a 7-point loss at home against NC State. Other than that, we got beat by 10 at least every single game. So again, when you go down the line and you're losing by 25 to North Carolina, 11 to Pittsburgh, 14 to Duke, 17 Liberty, 26 to Clemson, 24 to Wake Forest, 30-0 to Louisville, lose by 24 to Notre Dame. Like, that's not competing. That's not close. That's ugly. That is when you can start talking the way that you're, you know, talking as far as, you know, the coach is this, the coach is that. I can understand last year, but I think that this year, if, you know, when you're talking about 3-point losses and 10-point losses, while you're still trying to figure stuff out and you can point the one or two things that are, you know, really just losing you the game and you're just that close to getting over the hump, then it's a different kind of story. I mean, we've been competing the whole season. Not even the same team.
And, you know, I guess there's no official number of what Dino's making a year, right? But you got to imagine that just historically speaking, it's not as going to be as competitive as some of these other schools that aren't private schools. So you when you got a coach like Dino Babers, who's dedicated, who has the culture ideas and how that, you know, he's raising these kids up to be men and all of this stuff. Now you can, you know, some of the analogies are too much for me. I get it. Like totally. But his analogies, sometimes it's too much, but, you got a pretty good coach in Dino Babers, and it's time to shit or get off the pot. It's that time. Okay. So I'm willing to extend the leash. Like, do you guys want to start over again? Because I don't want to start over with another coach again. I really don't.
No, not with a season that's got the trajectory of this. I mean, obviously the next four games kind of matter, but I think again, that game and just the fact of how we've lost the three games before that, again, it's showing improvement and it's showing that you're on your way up. And again, you know, if going into next year, when you know who your quarterback's going to be and you can have a whole spring game and a whole off season and a whole summer camp to get prepared with your starting quarterback that is doing what he's doing now, you know, especially with Tucker coming back, you have an identity now. We haven't had an identity since Dungy's been there. So now we have it. Now we can work on it and we can try to, you know, fine tune the craft, and it's only going to be better with an off season going into next year.
Absolutely. At MF Brightside, overcome the intangibles, at times ineptitude, and the down south ACC officiating. Absolutely. Amen to that. Players are still bought in. Much needed momentum. Could be building a special year next year if stay the course and get an assistant to manage the clock. I believe Coach Babers when he says look, he's taking the blame, but you know, the personnel issues, that's the one thing that's going to kill us. That, and like, we could have very easily have lost that game with the special teams that we had too. Okay. The block extra point taken back for two. You know, that was brutal, by the way. My gosh, you're going to block the kick, but my gosh. I mean, how many points did special teams cost us in that game?
That's a 3-point turnaround.
That's a 3-point turnaround. And then the
field goal.
The field goal deal. So,
right. I mean, we should have been up. We shouldn't even have needed that second touchdown in the fourth quarter, too. So, and on top of that, I mean, really, it's not even the kick returning, it's the kicking. Because, again, our punting had one bad punt.
Yeah.
I mean, their punter had as many yards as our punter had in four kicks, and we kicked five times. So.
Jeez, right. So, yeah, that, I know which one you're talking about too. It went like 30 yards or something like that. It was really bad. So, the ACC officiating again. Obviously, I mean, we kind of hit it up already. I really do think that last play was to make things exciting for the fans, because without it, I don't think he's getting that ball in the end zone. Maybe just barely, but
no. But I'll tell you what, though, it wasn't terrible.
That was a terrible call, Joe.
No, I'm not saying that specific call. I'm saying throughout the whole game, it wasn't awful.
No, it wasn't awful. And Syracuse played pretty disciplined. Look, there was that false start backed up against the end zone. Remember when they thought they got a safety? You could hear the crowd just erupt. They thought that they tackled Sean Tucker Troy for a safety. Him. Yeah, the play before that was the false start. I mean, dude, I'm sorry. That was so loud, I couldn't even hear myself think. I mean,
sure.
It was loud. That was the loudest point of the game, by the way, was when they thought they got the safety, but before that too. And so those things are going to get you. And that's why it is so amazing to have fans again. Okay. So, you know, Virginia Tech, they dealt without fans. Everybody did for the most part last year. So those fans were just as eager to get back and make noise and get back into their groove too. And they did a good job, and those things are going to happen. But all in all, I don't think the officiating was bad, but that one call I thought was pretty awful. I'll leave it at that. At CNY315, the losses were tough, yes, but three came by 3 points each. Dino clearly has players engaged. That's the second person that said that. Driven that I picked. Driven, committed. He needs to just improve some in-game decision-making. Very happy for the team. A well-earned win. Just a huge momentum booster for this team, getting to come home and play Boston College before they go for the rest of the gauntlet. And they're going to get a break in between that too, which is going to be much needed for this Syracuse team. But But yeah, the players are engaged, man. And I talked about it last week. I think we mentioned it about, you know, just getting this, like you said, to your point just a couple minutes ago, the identity, right? You know, Tommy decided to transfer. We all knew it was looming. We don't know what it was like in the locker room. We don't know what it was like in the locker room with Taj. Like all of these things, like sometimes once that stuff's weeded out and gone, there's like a pressure lifted from these guys and they can finally just focus on the task at hand, which is playing football, and there's in not have to be surrounded by the quarterback questions and all the other drama. So I really think that that stuff makes a huge difference. So at Cuse Waterboy, it wasn't until my older years that I realized marijuana isn't a gateway drug. Syracuse football is to cocaine. Let's go, he says. Yes. Yes, it is brutal. And, you know, I've been at some close games, but I didn't realize this until I was reading that. But I've never been to an away game. I did realize it, but I didn't think about it. I've never been to an away game before. And that was intense. That was an intense game. I mean, you know, Joe, you know what it's like watching on TV or even being at one. But when you're there and you're in enemy territory and you're thinking they're about to pull this win out and you got to walk to your car with your head down, and I'm sure everybody's going to be cool about it, but I hate putting on a plastic smile and being like, yeah, good game. I hate that. And that's what I was thinking about until, you know, they actually marched down and scored that first touchdown and stopped them on defense. But yeah, Syracuse, definitely cardiac Cuse. We don't call them that for anything, right? At Turf on Fire, Dino still sucks. The defense is overrated. Clemson, only the good ACC performance and haven't forced turnovers. And Schmidt is garbage, along with the entire special teams unit. But Schrader is a warrior, and we're due for some magic. Okay. So, but the Syracuse defense is, total defense is ranked 27th in the country. So, it's really good. They did allow some absorbent amount of rushing yards. What was the total? 260.
Yeah.
And even after that game, the rush defense, they're ranked 43rd, which is
yeah. I'm hoping that this stuff doesn't like rear its ugly head, because I feel like this is what happens almost every year with us, because I feel like we get a couple injuries or we don't have the depth on the defensive line, and then these kind of like run heavy teams start to figure it out against us. And then we have to bring too many guys in the box, sell out against the run, because otherwise they're going to run. And then you allow, you know, one-on-ones and with your receivers and your corners, and some big plays could happen. That's what happened with Wake Forest. We just, you know, we're in a situation now where he broke a bunch of different long runs, and this quarterback was really never legitimately going to beat us with his arm. So, Virginia Tech's offense wasn't good enough to probably beat our defense, even though they almost did because of some mistakes. And yeah, I'd say that our special teams, other than our return game, is hot garbage.
Yeah, that's got to get fixed, man. You know, the punting situation is what it is, guys, unfortunately, I think. And I do think Schmidt, he's already proven it. I mean, it wasn't he got lucky. It was a whole season. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah.
Look, I know it doesn't look good. What is he? He's like 7 for 11 on the year, I believe, for field goals with a long of 48, if I remember right. But his extra points, what was he on extra points? He's now got another one of those that's going to be an issue too. Let's see.
It's just a situation when you really sit down and you look at the when you look at the whole thing, right? Like
7 for 12 on field goals, 29-31 on extra points. Yeah, it's not great.
No, it's not. And again, like I said, you look at it, and against Florida State, didn't have a James Williams as our punter, his freshman, you know, true retro freshman punter that's got a scholarship, but we had Schmidt missed a PAT, and then we had a kicker that averaged 33 yards a punt. So, you know, on top of the holding, we know what happened with that. But, I mean, is it a situation where our kicking team and not putting ourselves in better position as far as, like, field position and stuff like that and making PATs? I mean, against Wake Forest, same thing. I mean, James Williams, he came back. He averaged 30 yards a punt. off of six punts. Longest was 37. Awful. Andre Smith missed a field goal. We lose by three. And then when you fast forward to Clemson, obviously we know what happened there because we know that Andre Schmidt missed that field goal.
I'm not pegging him with that one, though. I mean,
no, but at the end of the day, you have a situation where your kicking team probably could have put you, as far as punter and kicker, could have put you in a better position or put you in a position to win the game in all three of those aspects.
So, I mean, Virginia Tech had pretty good field position after every punt, the whole game. They had decent field position after just about every punt that I could remember, because I remember cringing a lot.
It happened a lot in those three games. We lost by 3 points. That's what I was saying. You know, it's a lot of different aspects, but good special teams. I mean, who knows if you add on 20 more yards in field goal, you know, if the team doesn't get to go down and get in field goal position after just two first downs and, you know, just saves points. And then when you have guys missing PATs and field goals and stuff, it's like, I don't know, this just wouldn't have happened last year. And I bet you it has at least cost us one game.
At least, yeah. Top fan Dominic on Facebook. I'm so glad we won. Schrader is a dog. Sounds nuts, but Tucker has to be excited that he does not have to do all the heavy lifting. Either Dino has to take the clock management from Gilbert at the end of halves, or Gilbert has to go, which I think he will be fired. Also, desperately need special teams coaching. The D is still young and showed some major warts today. The two opening drives giving up TDs in the long run in the fourth quarter. This team is dangerous. We can beat anyone the rest of the way with Schrader and Tucker and this defense getting more mature. I can definitely see us contending. So he goes on, but it's a screenshot and I didn't realize I had to tap on it to see more. So I guess there's even more than that. But good comment, Dominic. I appreciate it. Look, Schrader is, I mean, look, there's going to be, we've already heard him, the Schrader Dungy comparisons. Our buddy Tyler texted me last night and was kind of poking around about it. And I'm just going to tell you what I told him. I said, by the end of this thing, it's quite possible that these guys are very similar. I don't care what coach says. It's very possible that at the end of this thing, I mean, Schrader could hold some, a statistical, to say the least, advantage over Dungy. If he can reel his passing game in and get that a little better, Schrader could possibly be just as good, if not better, than Eric Dungy. And the legend of Eric Dungy is still hanging around. So with that said, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt. We got a year and a half left of Schrader, and hopefully he stays here and finishes out his tenure here. You know,
yeah, I just don't. So again, I know that Dungy, I know he ran, and I could just be misremembering, but by the time he got his junior senior year, when he was really, you know, doing very well, especially his senior year, he had really good receivers. And it looked to me like, I just don't remember him running as much as Schrader.
He doesn't in the amount of runs. So not just the amount, I'm sorry, the average. Schrader's averaging 5.7, and we'd have to go back and look, but if you just put that into comparison with Sean Tucker's averaging 0.44 yards more a carry at 6.1.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, as far as I just remember that Dungy, he didn't really run this much. So my point is that to me, they're two different guys, because even to me, they ran a little bit differently as well. Like to your point, I'm not going to sit here for the next 2 years and compare, you know, Garrett Schrader and Dungy, but I can't. I'd be lying if I said that he doesn't remind me of him a little bit versus DeVito, right?
Right, absolutely. So the whole clock management thing, I'm that's a conversation for the next game, because I didn't because I'm over it. The D is still young and showed some major warts today. Yeah, I mean, we got run over. I mean, look, these things will improve. You got to think, you know, getting the short fields and doing what they did at the end of the game, taken after a long run, by the way. So the defense stopped Virginia Tech in the fourth quarter after that long run by Thomas. And it was 40, I believe it was 47 yards. That was that one, right? Yes, it was.
For the touchdown, right?
No, not for the touchdown. The one in the fourth quarter that got him up past the 50-yard line into Syracuse territory. But either way, after that first down, that long run, it was a three and out. And that's exactly what Syracuse needed with, what was it, a minute 15 left or whatever the hell it was.
No, yeah, so Thomas, he ran a 47-yard touch. So he got caught a little earlier in the game, but with 5:36 to go up nine, was he ran a 47-yard touchdown.
Okay, what was the one in the fourth quarter?
And then we got the ball. They punted it off. That was still fourth quarter. Then they kicked it off. Pena ran it back for 51 yards, and then we ended up scoring seven plays, 2:57 left. So with 2:28, we kicked off down two.
Right.
And what happened was that Virginia Tech, we had three timeouts. Virginia Tech, they came out and actually passed on the first down and got like 13-yard first down. We used the timeout, and then right after that,
okay,
it was a three and out.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right. That's right. That's right. That's right. We end up sacking them on third down too. Not only that, but just sacking them too. So,
right.
Yeah, the defense did what they had to do. And Schrader said it, you know, he must listen to the podcast here, joke with the don't bend but don't break defense. And he said the same thing, and they didn't. And they did exactly what they needed to do to put Syracuse in a spot to go back down with a chance. And they did it amazingly, amazingly.
Yeah. And just think about what could happen when they get this damn time management stuff down.
The time management and the special team stuff.
Right, but I'm talking, and they were saying too, oh, well, good, what someone was saying last week about, like, good luck with the two-minute offense and the this and the that, and you can't throw. Like, I feel like at the end of the half and the games, we've had no problem. Schrader's had no problem
moving the ball
down the field and putting us in a position to win. To me, he seems clutch. He seems like a guy that can actually do that part and may struggle earlier in games. When it comes to clutch time, though, he's ready to go.
He's like a wind up toy. He's got to run a little bit, you know, little RPO, and then little dink and dunk, and then he's warmed up and he's ready to go. I mean, he did a good job. And yeah, I mean, no doubt. I rattled off his stats already. 174 yards rushing, too. It's amazing. So, Robert, seems like Schrader clicked today. This was a big win. Very happy for these guys. Big win. Good. You know, big win in the sense that obviously, you know, Virginia Tech is not what they are or have been, but a big win in the sense that this has got, you snap a 3-game losing streak, you snap an 8-game losing streak against the ACC on the road, and you've got a little bit of momentum coming into a very important game, a must win against Boston College. Steve, team played hard today, still same issues, penalties, special teams, play coaching, something needs to change. Babers is terrible in clock management, lucky to win. Not lucky to win. I don't think they were lucky to win. I think they did what they needed to do to win. They just closed this one out. The other ones were so close to closing out, and they just didn't close them out. They closed this one out. That's what happened. This could have gone the same way the other three went, very easily. I mean, we all watched the same game, right?
So, I was just looking at it like, well, no, we're not going to lose by three.
Well, we lose by two.
Yeah, oh, there's that blocked PAT. There that it goes, because that's a 3-point turnaround, right?
Right, so, we'd have been up by one.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's the other things that we actually broke too this week. It was, we were on a 10-game losing streak in the month of October.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so basically the last 2 years, we haven't won a game in October. Yeah. Into this year. And then the other thing that I read as well, those are two stats that I read. I don't know what site it was on, but they were interesting stats to me. The other one was that this is the first time since, I want to say they said like 2003 or I don't know exactly. I mean, it was something like the last 21 years, only 9 games Syracuse has had over 500 yards of offense with no turnovers. And this is one of 9 games since 2000.
You know, despite, and like, look, first, what was it? The first drive of the game, Tucker dropped the ball, put the ball on the ground, which, I mean, you tell me, I never watched the replay of it. It didn't look like a fumble. Even in the replays, it didn't look like a fumble. It didn't look like
when
enough evidence.
They
called a fumble with a recovery by Syracuse, but at first they called no fumble. So I knew we were getting the ball regardless.
Oh, yeah. No, that was a fumble.
Was okay. All right, fair enough. I mean, even the replays I saw I couldn't see it. So anyway, but to my point, not Syracuse, knock on wood, they just haven't turned the ball over much this year. You know, they just haven't. And thank God.
Yeah, well, they haven't gotten a lot of turnovers either.
No, so. Not like last year and stuff, but no. And, you know, the other thing too is Garrett Williams was out. You know, you're getting a lot. We're having some issues. Carlos Vettorello looks like he's probably going to be out for at least Boston College. Okay. He huddled off on crutches. And it's just that time
like
of year.
Elmore was out.
A little bit.
He had something on his hand. And Trevor Peña was holding his ankle.
Service had to move over. And Iloa came in. And, you know, Garrett Schrader's still trying to talk to everybody and missnapped the ball. So why you look confused?
No. I'm just listening, bud.
Oh, okay. So anyways, my point is that the offensive line stuff is starting to pile up. And
well, I think it's all over the place.
It is. It's all over the place. But, you know, they're still doing a good job. I think the big thing is that these guys who get plugged in, I think they've done pretty decent so far. Well, we've seen them a couple times, right? So they come in and play center. Obviously, got to clean some of that up. But some of that could be nerves and just experience. So,
I think and I'm speaking even on the other side of the ball as far as injuries and depth and stuff. I feel like that's kind of why we gave up the rushing yards that we did. And you're seeing so many guys coming in and out. And it's like I don't see Kingsley Jonathan for it seems like a quarter. You know, they're and maybe it's strategically moving guys in and out. I don't know, but it seems to me like there's just a lot of guys banged up that are just trying to get whatever reps they can and just get through the game and get to this bye week, which is ridiculous that we have to play 9 games before we get a bye. But
our buddy Pat, Captain Patrick, we had some stupid game management. A few calls go against us, and we come on, Pat. we had some stupid game management. A few calls go against us that. Oh, that were. He put that we. Okay. In my defense, it says we. It must be that were BS, but still found a way to win. And I'm happy with that. Absolutely. That's the attitude. Obviously, we can pick apart every game, and we do. And fans do, and we do, and we do. We all do a damn good job of it. But at the end of the day, a W is a W. So,
no. And what's crazy too is that because we're fans of Syracuse, we only pay attention to Syracuse. I guarantee you that if you pay attention to the other teams, like the other fans, I bet you Virginia Tech fans.
Well, Virginia
are probably thinking the same thing.
They're chanting Fire Fuente at the end of that game.
Oh, just like so. Dino, right? And there's probably guys still sitting around.
Didn't come up through the TV,
talking
but they
about.
Said.
Certain types of play calling and certain types of this and game management. It's just, it happens to every single team. It's just, we only pay attention because we're uber focused against, you know, watching Syracuse and seeing what we can pick apart of Babers.
Yeah. And, you know, doing the, just to your point real quick, we got 1 second here and then we're going to close this thing out. But in doing the preview stuff, and so I like to read all the fan stuff. I go on Twitter. It's the same stuff, guys. It's the same stuff for Virginia Tech. I've already started to look at Boston College. Just a little bit of the same stuff. So if a team's struggling, the fans are in the same boat. It's the same thing, right? So, you know, it is
whether
what it is.
Whether you're losing by 1 or losing by 20, as long as you're losing, you're probably hearing the same thing.
Yeah, but let's be honest. We were losing by 20 a lot last year, and losing by 3 or 1 or whatever ain't that bad. I guess it gives you some faith, right? A loss
right.
is a loss.
We're in it till the end of the game.
That's
when,
right.
When you come down to one game, you can pick out 2-3 games or 2-3 plays in a game that would have overturned that game, then you know that you were competing and that you're right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, look, we appreciate everybody tuning in. Sorry, we were a day late.
Sorry.
Joe's sorry. He was a day late. We will be back tomorrow. Normal time, same bad time, same bad channel for the preview of Boston College. We'll talk to you then. For Joe, I'm Sean. Thanks, guys. We're out of here.
Peace.
Dominic and Zach, appreciate you guys.